discuss the burden of suicide in Wisconsin this hour. According to this new report, an average of 700 people a year committed suicide in Wisconsin during the five-year period between 2007 and 2011. This is an increase of 50 suicides a year from the previous five-year period. It's hoped that this report can lead to better prevention efforts to reduce the economic and emotional toll that suicide places on society and on all of us individually if we have been touched by the suicide of someone we know. Have you? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, August 14th. We had intended to talk about this report before the tragic suicide of Robin Williams this week, but the outpouring of grief over his suicide provides a high-profile example of a tragedy that touches people every day in Wisconsin. Have you lost a friend or family member to suicide? Or do you know someone who has attempted suicide? What is needed to better prevent suicide? We'll discuss it with our guest expert, and we'll welcome your thoughts and questions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Debbie Trader, a suicide prevention coordinator for Mental Health America of Wisconsin. She's a founding member and program coordinator for Prevent Suicide Wisconsin, a statewide initiative for suicide prevention at the regional and community level. She's also a mental health educator and works to build awareness and alleviate stigma surrounding suicide and mental illness. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. As mentioned, we had planned on talking with you about this report before Robin Williams' death. But I'm wondering, I've heard that when there is a high-profile suicide like this, there's sort of mixed emotions in the suicide prevention community. I hear calls are up to suicide prevention lines, but then there's also the fear that perhaps someone might take the same route.
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. It's tragic, especially someone like Robin Williams, who's been so loved and himself been so open about his struggles with mental illness and substance abuse and everything for so long. And then to have him take his own life like that, it made it even harder. Like you said, it's difficult because, yes, the calls are up. People are calling hotlines more. They're more afraid for themselves or for a loved one. But at the same time, we have people saying, well, boy, if he couldn't handle it, what makes me think I can? And so we really work hard trying to talk to people about, we don't know what his last struggles were. We don't know the whole story. And that's the hardest part about working with the media and understanding what's going on, because we hear the details of, okay, he died by suicide. He was struggling with mental deep depression at this latest time, mm-hmm. according to his publicist and his family members. But we don't know exactly what was going on, and that's the hard part, and trying to help people understand that we don't know what was going on in this person's mind or heart, Robin Williams or whomever, at the time that they took their own life. So how do you know that you can't handle what your problems are? Because his problems in his head at that particular time were different.
Right. Well, that's one of the reasons you do this report, is to find out who is committing suicide. Isn't that right?
Correct.
Yeah. And why measure the burden of something like suicide? Why is this important?
Suicide doesn't affect just the person who decides to take their own life. It leaves behind family. It leaves behind friends, coworkers. I contend, when I go out and speak, I talk about how suicide doesn't affect just one person. It affects an entire community, whether you know the person or not. It still affects our communities when a person dies by suicide.
Yeah, and specifically when we talk about the costs of suicide in the state, let's talk about, I guess, in general, some of those costs. There's certainly that tremendous emotional cost on individuals, on families, on friends and neighbors. But there's also an economic cost?
Oh, definitely. When you think about it, I mean, the emotional cost is extremely, there's no way to measure that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just totally immeasurable. But when you think about the years of life that are lost, in a work environment, it's the amount of money lost for, when it comes to, when you think about an employee, the cost of having to retrain a person, having that person gone, everything like that, it's a phenomenal amount of money. And we talk about, you're looking at over 22,000 years potential life lost.
Yeah.
If you look at it that way, that's a person contributing to their community, being a working member of the community, and all of that. And when you think about the costs of the cost of hospitalization, it's over. I was just checking the report. It's associated with inpatient hospitalization is over almost $370 million a year. And visiting emergency departments is over $22 million a year.
Yeah, it's just, it's amazing.
Those costs are involved.
Now, the report, this latest report, the Burden of Suicide in Wisconsin, found that the number of suicides, about 720 per year, in this five-year period measured between 2007 and 2011, was higher than the 5 years between 2001 and 2006, I guess about 650 per year more.
Mm-hmm.
The national suicide rate is also rising. How concerned should we be about this?
Oh, I think it's a definite concern. When you look at the efforts that are being made at the local level, at the regional level, the national level, and we still see that number increasing, we wonder about, well, why? We wonder, how can we change this? What can we do? And, again, my personal idea toward this is that we've become so, we don't pay attention to each other as much anymore. We've become a society that would rather send an email than have a phone conversation or catch somebody through a text than going and visiting with them. We don't see each other as much. We don't talk to each other as much. And that could be one of the things that could be very helpful is to pay attention to each other.
Do we know how Wisconsin's suicide rate compares to the rest of the nation?
We rank about 23rd or 20, between 23 and 25 on a yearly basis as far as the number of suicides. Our rate is just slightly higher than the national. But
we're right in the middle, kind of.
Kind of right in the middle.
Yeah.
States like Montana, Alaska, Wyoming, they take turns at who's number one, being very rural, very low on services, very sparse as far as population.
And that's true in Wisconsin, too. The regions of Wisconsin where the suicide rate is higher are the more rural areas of the state.
Yes. And people seem to think that that's strange where they'll look at the numbers and they'll say, well, there's over 100 in Milwaukee County and there are only 10 in our county. How can the rates be different? But it's by the number, when you compare the number of people in those areas too. So the rate would be higher if 10 people die in, say, Polk County. That's an extremely high number or high rate as compared to a more populated like Milwaukee or Dane, where there's many, many more people. And of course, the suicide, will also affect a community more, a small community. More people know each other. They've been with each other since kindergarten in some cases. So it has a more emotional effect as well in rural communities.
We are talking with Debbie Trader. She is a suicide prevention coordinator for Mental Health America of Wisconsin. We are talking about this recent report on the burden of suicide in Wisconsin. Talking about, and we will talk more about why people are committing suicide and who is committing suicide, all to find out how we might better prevent suicide. And we welcome your questions. We welcome your thoughts and your experiences. Have you been affected by suicide? Has someone that you know committed or attempted to commit suicide? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet your question at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with a guest who is a mental health educator, works to build awareness and alleviate the stigma surrounding suicide and mental illness. She is Debbie Trader, a suicide prevention coordinator for Mental Health America of Wisconsin. We are talking about this recent report that has been released on the burden of suicide in Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your questions or your ideas on what might better prevent suicide. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Well, let's take some calls. Susan in Milwaukee is with us first. Hello, Susan.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call. About a year ago, my stepfather committed suicide up in Manitowoc, and that is a very small community up there, and of course, people reached out to my mother, but the biggest burden was on my daughter, I believe. My daughter had just recently seen her stepfather go through a lot of pain and agony. He had back problems from a child on, and he just couldn't handle the pain anymore, and it was just too much. He also was older, in his 80s. And he basically called me and a few other people in the family and said he was going to do it. Mm. And the thing is, at that point, my daughter and I made a pact that neither of us would ever go that route, no matter how bad our lives got. But I think the main problem and the main reason why people commit suicide, one of the reasons is economically, or they just feel like they're not important anymore. And I think that that's probably the hardest thing, is to live in a society where you just feel you don't have a purpose.
I
really enjoy your show, and I'll just keep on listening, but thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling and sharing that, Susan. So sorry for your loss. Well, Debbie Trader, people commit suicide because they feel they really don't have a purpose?
Thomas Joyner is a leader in suicide prevention research, and he, in one of his books, he talks about how there are two things that a person thinks when they're thinking about suicide. One is that they don't belong, they don't fit in. Another is that they are a burden to others.
Yeah.
That the belongingness and the burdensomeness are extremely important in that thought process. And from what the caller said, again, I am so sorry for your loss. But it sounds like he was kind of in both of those, feeling that he didn't belong and he was in the way, a burden.
Yeah. And it also sounded like he was in tremendous pain and had been suffering with this pain for so long that he just didn't feel like going on anymore.
Right, and chronic pain is also a huge risk factor when it comes to suicide.
Yeah.
People, we could get into you could start another show completely on dying with dignity, the right to die, and things like that. But that's really not what we're talking about when we're talking about the suicide prevention as much. It's I work with people in suicide prevention that believe in the right to die, and they don't see it as suicide. So, and we, like I said, you could start a whole other another conversation on that completely. But
And we might sometime. But in according to the report, can you? I mean, there's a lot of information in this report, but it sounds like the reasons why it's believed most people or many people commit suicide. Can you kind of give us some of, in terms of they many do have a mental illness of some sort.
Right. There's a lot of things that go on with, you know, why they do it. At the individual level, it could be their pain. It could be the feelings that they don't belong. It could be their economics. There's it could be so many different things that are going on, a combination of things. It could be the relationship that they're in. It could be they lost their job. It could be their children. There's so many, and everybody has a different take on things.
And there was, in according to the report, in terms of the most people who, I guess the age group where that has the highest rate of suicide is between ages 45 and 54.
Right. And it's men. It's mostly men. And you think about our economic situation in the long term. In Wisconsin, we still have overall a very, I guess, traditional attitude. Dad has always been the breadwinner. Dad's always been the one that takes care of everybody. The man of the family takes care of everything. Now he lost his job, so he's not the breadwinner right now. Right. There's other stressors going on, and now he's not the one in charge anymore. He's going to have to ask for help, or he's going to need help, or these other things are happening in his life, and doesn't know what to do about it. And they get into the point where they also have this attitude of, you don't ask for help, you pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, you don't air out your dirty laundry, all these, again, attitudes, where so that men do very seldom ask for help. Mm-hmm. But the so those are some things that can be going on. And physical pain, mental anguish are, again, huge stressors, huge problems.
Let's take another call from Tom in Burlington. Hello, Tom.
Yes, it's a very sad subject. My nephew, Patrick Corcoran Boyle, jumped in Lake Michigan several years ago. And my family are lawyers, and we've never hidden the fact that we had the suicide. And we started a study in alcoholism and homosexuality, homophobia, and the connection. And they came out with the Rebam study. But what I wanted to point out with Robin's Williams death was there was a full moon the night he killed himself. They talked about this. I was sleeping at my shack, and the cows went wild. I had 40 cows screaming all night long at the moon, and that never happens.
Yeah, Tom, I'm not sure I want to divert into whether the full moon had anything to do with this. A lot of studies say that it does not have anything to do with, you know, changing our behavior. But I do want to talk a little bit, because it is very relevant to this study, where Tom says that his nephew committed suicide. Alcoholism and homophobia had something to do with that. In terms of, let's talk a little bit about, isn't there the suicides of young people who either are harassed because they're gay or lesbian, or because someone thinks they're gay or lesbian?
Oh yes, we're looking at much higher rates of the YRBS study, Youth Risk Behavior Study, that's done in the high schools every other year. One was done in 2013, and it talked about how students who admitted in their in the survey if they were LGBTQ. They reported seriously considering suicide in the past 12 months, something like 49%,
mm-hmm.
as compared to their 11% of their heterosexual peers. 28% of them reported attempting suicide in the last year, as compared to just 4% of heterosexual peers. So, yes, we're seeing a higher rate of suicidal ideation in young people, and that goes up into the college years as well. The fear of coming out, the harassment, the bullying that takes place, the misunderstanding, not fitting in.
Yeah, let's check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then continue to talk about the burden of suicide in Wisconsin, according to this recent report. We are talking with Debbie Trader, a suicide prevention coordinator for Mental Health America of Wisconsin. And we're welcoming your thoughts, your questions, your experiences. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. A new report has found that between the years of 2007 and 2011, Wisconsin saw an average of more than 700 suicides per year. And that is up from an average of 650 between 2001 and 2006. In the wake of this rise, which mirrored a similar rise in the national suicide rate, how can Wisconsin and how can we better prevent suicides? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with a guest from Mental Health America of Wisconsin, which was involved in this report. And we are welcoming your thoughts and questions. Has suicide affected you or someone you know? What do you think the answer to better suicide prevention is? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Debbie Trader, suicide prevention coordinator for Mental Health America of Wisconsin, founding member and program coordinator for Prevent Suicide Wisconsin, a statewide initiative for suicide prevention at the regional and community level. She's also a mental health educator and works to build awareness and alleviate the stigma surrounding suicide and mental illness. And Debbie, we have a listener, Carol, on Facebook who posts, "How to prevent suicide? Work on removing the stigma around mental illness." Talk some about how related that is.
Oh, it is so related. People are afraid to ask for help because they don't want anybody to know, oh my goodness, that they may have a problem. There's still that stigma and fear behind knowing that someone is dealing with a mental illness. They don't want, you know... Here's an example. I will go to a health fair and put up a booth for all types of mental health information. If I stand by the booth, few people will come and pick things up. If I stand away from the booth, people will look around, pick things up, and go. That's an example of that fear and stigma about mental health, about mental illness, about suicidal ideation that's still out there. People are afraid to admit, or they don't want people to think that they're crazy. We're working with a group that just started in the last year called WISE, Wisconsin Initiative for for Stigma Elimination. And the biggest thing about the whole thing around mental illness is that it's okay to say, yes, I have a mental illness, just like I have heart disease, just like I have another illness in my body. It's an illness of the brain, and it's an illness that can be helped. It can be, and we can give you a list of people that have come forward that say, yes, I suffer from depression. Yes, I suffer from bipolar disorder, that are extremely successful people in their lives.
Yeah,
but
so
they've had to keep it a secret for so long.
How does one find out more about WISE?
There is a website established, and we are doing more and more public speaking and more initiatives to get more information about why it's going right now. But you can go online and look for WISE. I'm not quite positive of the exact website right now, but I'm sure if you Google it, you can find it. I apologize for not having
that. Oh, no, that's all right. And this is something that's, I don't know, a statewide office. Is this one of these regional and community-level programs?
It will be, yes. I should say, yes, it is. We have a number of people that can go out and do a talk called WISE Basics, and in that it talks about stigma and how the fear of it and how the how advertising, the media, television programming all kind of base a lot of their jokes on or their fears on mental illness. You used to see television programs, and unfortunately you still do in some cases, that a person with a mental illness is a serial killer. So therefore, in some people's mind, therefore anyone with a mental illness must be dangerous. And in getting past that stigma alone is very hard. Or someone with a mental illness, if you have a mental illness, you're automatically not dependable and you're a firecracker waiting to go off. And those are, again, stigma things that we are trying to eliminate by people telling their own stories. And that's the biggest part of WISE. It's a people telling their own stories and going out and saying, look, I do this for a living. I do this, this, and this, and yet I suffer from a mental illness. And talking about how they've been able to overcome and live with their illnesses and take that fear and stigma out of it by personalizing it.
What does it tell you, though, that in the report, The Burden of Suicide in Wisconsin, among suicides with known circumstances, 51% of those who committed suicide had a current mental health problem, and 43% were currently receiving mental health treatment.
As you can see, there are so many people that do suffer from depression, that do suffer from a mental illness, that could be diagnosed but are not technically formally diagnosed by a clinician.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are. The other unfortunate thing is usually a person who is thinking about suicide or who does die by suicide has seen their physician and or their counselor in the last 60 days.
Because it's so severe, they are actually seeing someone.
They may be seeing someone, and either they feel like there's just nothing that can be done, or again, there could be a multitude and multitude of combinations of reasoning behind it. But the idea of not being able to seek the help because of that fear is still the biggest thing. And again, after a coroner does their, or medical examiner does their questioning and things like that, it's been found nationally that the majority of people who die by suicide do suffer from a mental illness such as depression, but have been gone undiagnosed.
Yeah. Let's go to Laura in Madison next. Hello, Laura.
Hi. You're kind of touching on what I wanted to ask about. I was wondering if, I used to work on volunteer on a peer counseling line, and suicide was a topic that was brought up and that we were trained about. I'm wondering, these so-called warm lines, which there used to be more of, I think, than there are today. I was wondering about the efficacy of places where people can call and talk to somebody at times when they're having crises. I'm wondering about what kind of studies have been done about the efficacy of various mental health routines, maybe even more general studies, like when mental health parity laws come into effect, does the suicide rate lower? Has there?
You know, I'm sorry, Laura. We're really great questions, but so many that I'm not sure that we're going to be able to get to them all before our break. So let me. First off, I mean, do these helplines or hotlines do they help, Debbie? Do we know?
Actually, the National Lifeline, the 273 Talk, 273 Talk, has had a lot of great success. It's become a best practice with Suicide Prevention Resource Center and with SAMHSA and some of the other national organizations. They've had some great successes. In Wisconsin, the crisis lines that the county crisis lines that you can call as well do extremely good work at talking with people, giving them ideas what they can do if it's the person themselves or someone calling for someone else. They're ready to step in and talk to this person, step in to send someone to see if they, you know, to talk to them in one-on-one. The neat thing about the 800 number that maybe not everybody knows, if you call the 800 Lifeline number, it's answered regionally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe there's three or four that, if you call the 800 number, there's three or four locations in Wisconsin that are answered in Wisconsin for callers in the region. So you're not getting somebody in Washington, D.C. or overseas or something like that to talk to. You're talking to someone regionally, locally, that can have a better idea what's going on and what's available regionally for that person, which is also very helpful. Calling your own crisis line in your own county can be very helpful because they're going to know the resources available. They're going to know what to do. And, again, they can also step in, and if they need to call someone to come out and do a well check with this person if need be.
Yeah, and do we know if better access to mental health care, maybe through parity laws or otherwise, if that indeed makes a difference in the suicide rate? Is it helping?
I'm hoping it will. Our parity law in Wisconsin hasn't been in place for all that long yet. It's just been a couple of years. So are the effects mm-hmm. taking hold? I'm not positive yet. I haven't seen the studies on it yet. I'm hoping so. I'm hoping that because that with the parity law, more people are going to have access, so more people will access. But again, we still have that stigma and fear that we also have to get around.
Thank you very much, Laura, for the call. We'll get to more of your calls with questions or thoughts on suicide and how it affects society, how it's affected you perhaps, what you think might be done to better prevent suicide. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the recent report, The Burden of Suicide in Wisconsin. This report found about the suicide rate in Wisconsin. It found out who is committing suicide in Wisconsin. Counties that are clustered in northern and western Wisconsin experienced the highest suicide rates in this period from 2007 to 2011. Found that it is mainly men who commit suicide. Nearly 4 out of 5 persons who died by suicide were male. The age group where there is the highest rate of suicide, ages 45 to 54. Whites experience the highest suicide rates, followed by American Indians, Blacks, Hispanics. We are talking about the face of suicide in Wisconsin and the great cost, not only economic, but emotional cost of suicide in Wisconsin, and trying to figure out how we might better prevent suicide in the state. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We're talking with Debbie Trader, Suicide Prevention Coordinator for Mental Health America of Wisconsin. Mark on Facebook writes, my question deals with the person's religious beliefs. Do people who commit suicide have a belief in the afterlife, or do they accept nothingness? I'm trying to understand if people make a rational choice card, suicide as a means to get to a better place or a means to get to not feel anything. Do we have any idea, Debbie?
Wow. I get this question a lot. We do talk about spirituality. I've spoken with religious groups that I've had actual people tell me that, oh my gosh, if this person dies by suicide, they automatically go to hell. And that was a belief system for a long time in many churches, and that has changed, I'm happy to say. But I can get to that in a moment. But there are a lot of people who think that if they die by suicide, they'll go to heaven and they'll get out of this pain. They just want out of this pain, and they're going to a better place. There are other people that say, I don't know if there's heaven or hell. I don't know what's going on. I just can't handle this anymore. So I don't know if it's going to nothingness or if it's just saying there's got to be something better than this, or I just don't care. They're to that point, they just don't care. So it could go either way with a lot of different people.
Yeah. Let's take another call from John in Madison. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, a more stable economy would help with the suicide rate. Every percentage drop in employment is associated with an increased incidence of suicide. If all people in our culture, our particular country, had health care in general, it would help. A lot of suicides are due to intractable pain and horrible conditions that wouldn't get so horrible if they had preventive health care provided. Homelessness is associated with increased suicide, not only for the schizophrenics and the people with manic depressive disease, but also the hopelessly addicted. And I agree with you, knowledge of the public has to understand that half the population at some time in their life are going to need treatment for some kind of psychiatric disease. And the public should also understand that there are specific types of psychiatric disease associated with increased rates of suicide, like schizophrenia, manic depressive disease, unipolar depression, etc. So all of these things have to be addressed.
Yeah, lots of things need to be addressed, and your report finds much of that is so, Debbie?
Yes. There are economics especially. I mean, when our economic situation declined, yes, we did see a very big increase in attempts and in completions of suicide. Illnesses that go untreated because people can't get their medications, they can't get into treatment, again, can be devastating as far as that a person losing their home. That's part one of those stressors too. They lose their home, they lose their job, they may lose their family. Those are stressors. When they add up, can be devastating and can be risk factors for suicidal thoughts and completions.
Do we as a society know enough about how to treat severe depression or bipolar or schizophrenia in order to treat it effectively enough that suicide is not a consideration? I'm thinking of, you know, Robin Williams did have all the resources and access that you could imagine. You mentioned that a lot of people are actually in a psychiatrist's office 60 days before they commit suicide. So I'm just wondering if we need to do a better job in effectively treating these mental illnesses.
One of the hardest parts that I've talked to a number of counselors and doctors in my work, one of the hardest parts of this is that mental illness in each person is as individual as that person.
Yeah.
Their reasons for wanting to die by suicide are also as individual as that person. So how do you get your hands around something that's so intangible? Something that stresses me to the point where I think about dying, another person may look at it and say, well, what's so bad about that?
Yeah.
So getting our hands around where a person's thoughts and stressors and life is at that point is what's so difficult to say, okay, here's the magic pill for curing suicidal thoughts. It's just next to impossible to do. So what we try to talk about is paying attention to the person next to you, paying attention to your family member, your coworker, someone that you see, that your acquaintance, and what's going on with them. Are they acting differently? They're not acting like they normally do. Start asking questions. What's going on? Are you okay? Starting out with just something as simple as, hey, are you okay? Because I've just noticed you haven't been yourself lately. And it could be that they're just having a bad time right now, or they've had a loss, or in a grieving process or something like that. Or you might get them to open up and say, yeah, I'm just really having a hard time here. This and this and this, and all these things are piling up. But asking a simple question, are you okay? And start it from there.
Yeah. Well, besides that, which is a wonderful, wonderful thing we can do as individuals, what else, as an expert on this in terms of suicide prevention, what else does this report tell us we need to do better?
Again, we really need to pay attention to each other. We need to become educated in our communities. Prevent Suicide Wisconsin is I guess you can call it an umbrella. Where I work with coalitions all over the state, we try to help provide information along with a lot of other organizations throughout the state of the latest information, the latest helpful ideas and programming that we can do. But we take it down to the community level, and at the community level, we take it down to the personal level. We work with coalitions in each county or each area to help them with the people in the area. Because what works, say, up in the northeast part of the state will not maybe work in the southwest part of the state and so forth. So what we need to do is pay attention to each other, get educated, talk about suicide, talk about mental illness, make it as everyday as talking about cancer, as talking about breast cancer, as talking about diabetes, any other illness that we go out and talk about openly today. There's still that cloud, that curtain in front of mental illness and suicide where people don't want to talk about it yet, but it's getting better.
Yeah.
And we need to make it better by talking about it more, making it as everyday as, you know what, yep, you're right, I do suffer from depression, and yeah, I take medication, or I see a counselor once in a while because of it. Just like somebody says, yeah, I'm taking pills for high blood pressure.
Yeah, remove the stigma. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Debbie Trader, Suicide Prevention Coordinator for Mental Health America of Wisconsin, founding member and program coordinator for Prevent Suicide Wisconsin. Thanks to Christy Taylor and to Justin Williams and to Cynthia Schuster for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening and for sharing your stories and your questions. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.